Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
As you go about your daily life, you may check your local news station for the weather for the day and for the rest of the week. How about a little sprinkling of the weather for the rest of the year or the rest of the decade? Our guest today has been incorporating hints of our changing climate in his local weather segments in hopes of getting his audience to be a little more conscious about the environment around them. Not too much to scare them, but just enough to make them stop and think. Let's welcome Jeff Berardelli to the Weather Geeks podcast. Jeff, so good to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm excited for this discussion. It's, you know, one that we talk about a lot at the Weather Channel, which is climate change and climate change communication, which is, you know, can be challenging. So I'm really anxious to get your insights because you have a lot of experience. But I'm going to start with the first question we ask everyone on the Weather Geeks podcast, which is, how did you become a weather geek?
Oh, wow. Since I'm three, I've wanted to be a meteorologist. It's crazy. Ever since I can remember, my mom says she got me my first thermometer when I was 3 years old, my first weather radio when I was 5 years old. I love the snow. I'm from New York City. Of course, if you live in New York City right now, you don't know what snow is because in the last 2 years, they've gotten very little. But we used to get snow when I was younger. And ironically, now I'm a TV meteorologist in Florida, and I have been the majority of my adult career, but that's how I got interested. I've just always been fascinated with the science of meteorology. And more importantly, I thought, well, if I'm fascinated, everybody else should be fascinated too. So how can I teach this? And then, you know, through the course of time, I realized that classrooms were too small and I would only reach maybe 30 kids. So I better figure out a way to educate people at a larger scale. And that's how I evolved into television.
Oh, interesting. So did you ever want to be a forecaster, kind of behind the scenes, or was it always about getting the message out and sharing the weather with others?
Yeah, it was always about sharing. I was just so excited and passionate about it. I wanted everybody else to be just as excited and passionate. So I just tried to figure out the fastest way to reach as many people as I possibly could. And of course, that was television when you and I were young.
Yeah. And, you know, still honestly is a great way to reach a lot of people and get the conversation going. And now, you know, because of social media, we can have that conversation with the people that are watching and listening.
That's right. It offers us a lot of ways to get to people, to talk to people. And it's a two-way conversation, right, on social media, if in fact you're responding to people. It's a one-way conversation. So it's two different types of communication.
Yeah. But I feel like social media has allowed TV to become two-way because I will say something on air and I'll get a response on social media. And I love that kind of, you know, back and forth that
I guess it depends on what the response is.
Well, there is truth there. I do want to talk about climate storytelling. So when in your career did you start working that in and decide that that was something that you really wanted to explore more?
Well, I've been dabbling in climate change since I graduated college, but really full force about 10 years ago, I'd say. I was working in South Florida as a chief meteorologist there. It became apparent to me just how quickly things were changing. I could see it on my weather maps. I could see it on the climate graphs and the climate maps. And I didn't understand why people weren't getting this message. Things were changing so fast, relatively speaking. And yet it wasn't really on the news at all. In fact, it wasn't on the national news either. So it led me kind of on a crusade to try to educate people on climate information, climate facts, climate science.
Yeah. And you went on to actually go back to school to get more experience there. So I want to run through actually some of your background for everyone who is watching and listening. Right now, you're the chief meteorologist and climate specialist at WFLA News Channel 8 in Tampa. Formerly, you worked at CBS News in New York City. You also worked at CBS TV in New York City, West Palm Beach, Miami, Buffalo. I think Elmira probably missed a few in there. But you certainly have been up and down the East Coast. Yes, former president of Zoom Radar, LLC, an online weather content and software provider. And for your education, you've got your master's in climate and society from Columbia University and your bachelor's of science in atmospheric sciences from Cornell.
You know as much as I do.
You have a fantastic background. So when did you decide to get your master's? Because it wasn't right away. That was throughout your career you decided to go back, right?
I was over 40 years old when I decided to go back. It's a new world, isn't it? You can go back anytime you want. I decided right around that time, about 10 years ago, that, you know, this was an important story and I needed to get this story out to everyone so they understood the threat from climate change and how our society is going to be changing. So I formed a strategy in West Palm Beach that I would move to New York, which, by the way, I moved with no job. And my wife also dropped her job and moved with no job to get my master's at Columbia University while at the same time doing my best to figure out if there was a network that I could work my way into, because I wanted to. Again, I'm always trying to reach as many people as I possibly can. That was the idea behind it. I had worked on and off with CBS News for a long time, and so I had some contacts there, and also I understood the way things worked there a little more. So when I got to New York, I immediately went to CBS News and said, hey, you want a meteorologist and a climate specialist? And they said yes pretty quickly. So it worked out perfectly. I was able to go to New York. I was able to get my master's degree. I was able to find a job so I could pay the bills and get that message out to a national audience.
Yeah, that's a fantastic plan and well executed. You know, and so then you came back to Florida, which I think is, you know, maybe the place that you want to be. Is that weather-wise? What drove you back to Florida? Was it the audience that you wanted to reach, or is it living there?
There are a couple things. Yes, I love living in Florida. I like Manhattan. I've lived in Manhattan three times in my life. I'm from New York City, born and raised. But I really love being on the water, and I love, you know, what Florida offers in that way. But the biggest reason was my wife was about 7 months pregnant when the offer came in for this particular station in Tampa. And we had kind of, we reached a fork in the road, right? You know, what's best for our child, what's best for our family. And it just seemed like this would be the best way to bring up our daughter. And then the icing on the cake, or the cherry on top, was that I happen to love the Tampa Bay area. If there's a place that I consider home, because I've moved a lot in my career, it would be the Tampa Bay area, because I worked here from 97 to 2003. So I worked here for 6 years, and I remember just loving it and always wanting to get back. And so it was just a moment of truth for me when that offer came my way, that opportunity came my way, and we decided that this was the best place. To be honest with you, I love it, and I'm really glad I made this decision.
Oh, that's fantastic. And really, you know, in terms of your audience, I feel like you have a great relationship with them there in the Tampa area. You do something as part of your weathercast that you've coined the Berardelli bonus. So tell everyone what that is.
Yeah. So for anybody that's a meteorologist that's watching, I know you probably have a lot of meteorologists who do listen to and watch this. What I needed to do is figure out a way to integrate climate and weather, interesting stuff that wasn't local to the Tampa Bay area. And doing it sometimes in the middle of a weathercast is very awkward, right? Because you're talking about a local weathercast, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, appears this thing that doesn't really have anything to do or has little to do with your local area, and maybe a lot to do with something happening nationally or internationally or climate change. And so the Berardelli bonus was essentially a breakout segment that I do daily, where I produce special content that you may not see on a different station, you're not likely to see on a different station. And I do it every day, and it takes a couple hours to do it. But the point is to give people something that they can't get on another TV station, and oftentimes it would be hard to maybe even find digitally. Of course, you can find a lot of this stuff digitally. But the point was is just trying to figure out a way to kind of differentiate our work, because in many ways, we've been doing kind of the same thing for decades now. And we are trying to reach a new audience, trying to keep the audience that we already have, and also trying to figure out how to do it in a natural and seamless way. And that was, and it works. It's worked for me. It's memorable because when I do the Berardelli bonus, I scream it at the top of my lungs. It's time for the Berardelli bonus. Now, were you from New York City by chance?
No, near Philly.
Okay. Well, there was a guy named Lloyd Lindsey Young who used to do weather in New York City, and he would just scream at the top of his lungs on a daily basis. He would say hello, like a certain city. He'd be like, hello, it's connected to New York, or whatever it was. And he became known for that. I didn't get it from Lloyd, but it's somewhat similar to that. So anybody listening that knows Lloyd Lindsey Young, they would understand.
Yeah, no, it's great to have a shtick, and it's very memorable, and it gives people like you what's coming next. How do you decide what kind of content you put in the Bear Daily Bonus? Is it what's going on, like in a sort of viral trend? Is it maybe climate news? Is it something, maybe that's affecting the local area?
Yes.
What makes the cut?
The answer is yes. The answer is
It's
whatever
all.
I think is interesting that day. So it's whatever sparks my interest and whatever I think I can educate and convey the audience on. It has to be something that has some graphical support because it's not exactly that easy to make original content every day in a window of 1 or 2 hours. So it has to be something that I have the ability to get that data or that those images or those maps or whatever animations. And so it could be anything. Yesterday it was about the seasonal forecast for this summer and how it looks as though most of the computer guidance is saying we're going to have a La Nina in the Pacific Ocean. And oh, by the way, the Atlantic is still very warm. What does that mean to Tampa, Florida? Well, it's not good for hurricane season. We had an El Nino this past hurricane season. We were hoping and praying that we'd have lower numbers. And I do think El Nino helped us to have lower numbers or weaker storms, but it still turned out to be an overactive season. Can you imagine what happens once there's a La Nina? And so we talked all about that. We went into showed where El Nino is now. It went from 2.2 degrees Celsius plus, down to about 1.7 degrees Celsius above normal, and so it's weakening. And we went through kind of some of the science behind how a La Nina leads to usually greater numbers of hurricanes and stronger hurricanes in the Atlantic.
Does your audience then ask questions that spur new segments, new Bear Daily bonus segments?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes I don't get, if you're gonna laugh at me, but first of all, I decided a couple of years ago that if I get any negative comments on Twitter or whatever it is, and we all do, that it's probably not worth my time. I actually don't mind responding to people, but when the comments are disingenuous, I just usually block people now. That's just my, because honestly, I'm doing my best to get as much information out there and help the world as much as I can. And sometimes you waste your time by interacting with people who are not being genuine. The people that are genuine, I'll write a whole email back to them or whatever it is. But yeah, sometimes I get my ideas from the audience, but oftentimes it's from what I see trending on social media, whatever happens to be interesting at the time. It's
Probably what the rest of us are tweeting or Instagramming about.
yeah.
Like I think the meteorology community is fantastic in the sharing of information. It is across the whole enterprise. Everybody is very willing to share and help support others' ideas.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, and that's what it is, right? You get a lot of good climate scientists, a lot of good meteorologists out there who want that information to get out there and who are willing to share their content. And so, I think it's a good story to tell. I think it's a way of, and I think people are interested. I genuinely think that when people watch this, they walk away with knowledge that they didn't know before and something that you can talk to their wife about or their friend about or whatever, which you can't get from an app. And so many people get their weather forecast from apps these days. So we have to figure out a way, me and you and everybody else in the industry, how to differentiate ourselves and do it in a way, hopefully, where we're enriching people's lives. And oh, by the way, trying to solve a global problem, which this is a big problem of climate change. And so I'd say 2 or so out of the 5 days, maybe 3 out of the 5 days, it's related, my Bear Daily bonuses are related to climate change.
Yeah. It's something I say very often about my job in my career is that, I love it because providing the weather forecast either makes your day safer, easier, or more interesting, and you kind of touch on that with your Bear Daily
Everybody talk
bonus
about
there.
the
But
weather.
yeah, it is the conversation starter for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Jeff, and we come back. I'm going to talk or ask you how your station responds to this, because I know that's always a challenge in this business. And yeah, we'll get on with Weather Geeks in just a moment.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm meteorologist Jen Carfagno from the Weather Channel, and today we are talking to Jeff Berardelli. He is the chief meteorologist and climate specialist at WFLA News Channel 8 in Tampa. We just talked about the Berardelli Bonus, which is a daily or maybe semi-daily segment on mostly climate topics. But Jeff, do you ever do anything else other than climate topics in the Berardelli Bonus?
Yeah, sometimes oftentimes it's extreme weather. Sometimes it's both, right? Usually extreme weather has an element of climate change in it, or climate change has an element of extreme weather in it. It can just be regular weather. It could be, want to do a segment about, lake effect snow. So I'll do it. Right. We have a lot of transplants that live here in the Tampa Bay area and that are from, somewhere in the Great Lakes. Tampa, a lot of people travel down here from I-75. So we have a ton of people from the Great Lakes, Ohio Valley. And so if there's a big, lake effect event, I did it on Buffalo a few weeks ago, I think it was. I explained the science behind lake effect snow. So it's not just climate, but oftentimes it tends to be.
How did your station management feel about this?
Well, I think it actually was part of the reason they hired me. I think they realized, and I think that a lot of station managers realized, that we have to start, producing content beyond what we used to, right? We're not the weather people of the 1980s and 90s anymore. We have stiff competition, and it's oftentimes not coming from other people. It's coming from apps and technology. So I think that TV stations understand that, they need to offer something that has not been offered before. So I think it actually worked to my advantage in terms of me getting this job in the first place. And they trust me. Honestly, I'm just being honest with people. I'm just giving them the climate science. That's all I'm doing. And I think that they trust my judgment. I mean, I would agree in this. They basically, trust that I'm going to do what's right, and that I'm not going to go off on a tangent. And so, they've been supportive. That's the honest truth.
I do think people are actually craving this information, right? It's out there in various news outlets, and sometimes it's hard to consume. It's too big. It's a big study. It's just, breaking it down into bite-sized pieces of information that, can be applicable to a situation, whether it's a forecast or whether it's, looking
at
a season or whatever.
But there's an element beyond that, Jen. I do feel an obligation. I mean, this is my expertise, right? I feel pain about what's happening right now in Israel and Palestine, but I can't do anything about that. I'm not an expert, right? I can't cure cancer. But one thing I can do, and one thing where I can have an influence, is talking about what's right, up my alley, what's in my batter's box. And that is climate change. I have an expertise in it. I have a platform. And I do view it as my responsibility to educate people on what is one of the biggest challenges that humanity will ever face. I don't think everyone has that responsibility. I don't look at other meteorologists and say, you should be doing this. But I do view it as my responsibility because I want to make the world a better place. So as much as this is part of, I think, my job, luckily, I think it helps my workplace, it helps my job, helps my career, it helps our industry. At the same time, it's helping the world, hopefully. So that's a big reason I'm doing it. It's not just a calculated, this is good for my job kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. Well said, Jeff. Well said. There's a lot of stigmas around climate change and political stigmas for one, but just in general, there's still an audience that ignores it and will ask me, do you believe in climate change? And it's not like asking if I believe in Santa.
Or believe in religion. It's not a religion.
Right. And so what kind of communication stigmas do you kind of hope to push breakthrough with what you're doing?
Well, we all know, and I think we know at this point, Jen, and I'm sure you do too, is that there's a 10% of the audience you just are never going to convince. They've decided that climate change is not happening or that it's not caused by humans, and you're never going to change their mind no matter what you say. So basically, at that point, you can't engage with them. They're not, you're spinning your wheels. So what you're doing is you're trying to open up people's eyes, the people who are, you know, interested enough, people who may have some time to actually think about what's going on. You're trying to open eyes and get the people who understand or want to understand science. You want to get them engaged. But you can't change the minds of the people who, you know, feel a certain way. It's very difficult, and it's not my job. My job is to communicate the science of climate change and potentially the solutions of climate change. I'm not pushing an agenda. I'm just being honest about what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and, you know, honestly, our knowledge keeps changing and growing constantly when it comes to climate change, you know, and sometimes it does mean kind of re-educating people on some, like, they have beliefs that they've held for a long time, and having to change someone's mind is really hard. Yeah. You're not really trying to change anyone's mind. You're just putting the information out there, right? And that's up to them.
I think when I started this, I was trying to reach people who I thought I could reach them with certain messages. For instance, people who may be, you know, very religious. Maybe we talk about how we need to take care of our planet because this is God's creation. So creation care. You might be able to reach some people doing that. But then there are people who don't look at this through a religious, microscope. They look at it through their ideology on life. And maybe that's political. So you can probably reach almost anyone, but you have to figure out how to do that in a way that, you know, they can relate to. And that's really hard to do on television. You can do it one-on-one if you become friends with them, you go for coffee, but that is almost impossible nowadays. We need that. We need people in their families and their communities working one-on-one with people who may be harder to bring along so that they can really understand the science. But you know, on television, you know, it's a little more difficult to do that.
Yeah. And talk about along those lines, you know, I kind of get this feeling too. It's almost like a, you know, you feel a little helpless. Yes, we can't reach everyone. I feel the same way about weather forecasting actually, as well as climate change communication, which is, a lot of times we only share the bad stories. So like mm-hmm. let's use a flash flood warning, for example, and we say, please don't drive through flooded roads. And then someone does. And unfortunately they die. And I'm like, why didn't they hear me? What happened? You know, like we get into that. And I think the same thing can be said for climate change communication, which is you try to get the message out there, but it can be frustrating if you can see, obviously, people aren't hearing the message. Tell me how that makes you feel.
What's most frustrating is the disinformation. A lot of these people have been convinced through disinformation or misinformation, the wrong information, and they're not willing to accept the science. They distrust experts, like myself, or maybe like you, just because they have a distrust of other experts. And it's really hard to reach those people. I think the best thing you could do is just plow forward with the truth. Always just engage people with the truth. Just keep telling the truth and what you believe to be the important stories. That's the way I go about my business.
Yeah. And you've been covering a lot of these stories as well as, you know, a lot of the news regarding our climate. What gives you the most promise and hope going forward?
Well, it's amazing.
Whether it's technologies, you know, to help mitigate or, what sort of gives you the most hope?
I think so. I think it's fortunate that these technologies have become more than economical. I think that's probably, money runs everything. It just does, you know, and no one is going to adopt a solution that's too expensive for them. So if EVs were always too expensive, people simply wouldn't buy them, or very few would. The price of EVs is coming down very quickly. And the same thing is true with solar and wind. In many places, wind energy is by far the cheapest energy. And in many places, solar is by far the cheapest energy. And so just because of the economic advantages, these technologies are being adopted quickly. So I think that has really been beneficial. I would say the other thing is that I think the youth of today really do view life differently. They are truly interested in quality of life, and they understand that if we don't take care of our planet, that we're not going to have any quality of life. In fact, our quality of life is going to go down in the future. So young people truly do get it, and I think they're tired of the BS, to be honest with you. And I think we'll start to see in the next decade or two that they really start to take over once they get into those leadership roles, that things will begin to change. But we're in the middle of a big disinformation campaign where special interests that have been, that have been doing business as usual for so many years do not want to lose their power or their financial incentives. And so they're basically lying to the public, a lot of them. And a lot of people are falling victim to it, or they see themselves lined up in an ideology with those people, and it becomes very difficult to get them to see the truth of what's happening. And consequently, there's less action being taken. But I do think what gives me hope is the fact that technology is advancing quickly. I don't know if we can eliminate everything, but I think we can go a long way.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, excellent. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back here, I've got a little lightning round set up here to ask you a few questions, kind of a this or that thing here. Okay. So we'll be right back in a moment.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to our Weather Geeks podcast. I'm meteorologist Jen Carfagno from the Weather Channel. We've got Jeff Berardelli with us today here, chief meteorologist and climate specialist from Tampa at WFLA News Channel 8. All right, so we've talked a lot today about climate communication, and so I have got a little lightning round I set up for you. The first one is on in that same vein, which is, which would you choose, an EV or a gas-powered vehicle?
Why hybrid? I have a plug-in hybrid.
A plug-in hybrid, yeah.
I just think it's the most reasonable answer right now, because there are a lot of people who just, you can't find, not everywhere can you find a place to plug your car in, or sometimes it takes a little too long. So for right now, I have a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah. No, we recently just bought a new car in our family, and it's not a plug-in hybrid, but it's the Toyota Corolla hybrid, and so get amazing gas mileage, and that was kind of the best way to do the situation and what we needed the car for. It's about 50 to 55.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's great. Yeah. And it's, for my daughter to drive. So we needed something that, didn't have to be plugged in. And so that was, that's a challenge. And I think you're right that we're not set up nationwide yet.
It's for a transition. And that we have to be honest with people. There are growing pains to this kind of thing. It doesn't happen overnight. The prices are coming down, but they're not coming down, so fast that, people see the result. They are. They're down pretty far, but it's going to take a little while.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to bring it back to weather for the next question. Which would be your favorite to use kind of as your first briefing of the day, radar or satellite?
Radar, because I live here in Florida, and for us, it rains on one side of the street and it doesn't on the other, so it's radar.
It's radar. Okay. All right. This one's a little more fun, but I know like you've lived up and down the East Coast. So pick one of these: grouper sandwich, stone crabs, or New York City pizza.
Oh, wow. You're chilling. I'm sorry. That's an unanswerable question if there ever was. I could probably more easily answer about the theory of relativity than I could that question. I would say stone crabs just because I'm craving them right now. We're in stone crab season. And so, yeah, stone crabs.
All right. Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to pick pizza. It's hard to
vote
against
pizza. Well, it has to be really good pizza because I'm very picky about it.
Yeah, true. I am too. Actually, there's no good pizza in the South. All right. And this one, because it just happened, the Gasparilla Festival Parade or the New York City Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Gasparilla. Yeah. Gasparilla. Even when I lived right next door to the Thanksgiving Day Parade, I rarely ever went. I'm not really a parade guy, but Gasparilla is fun. It's kind of like Mardi Gras.
Maybe a teeny bit small.
It's huge. Yeah.
The whole big pirate invasion
and
everything.
Tampa has its own unique culture. They really do. This place is done amazing. You know, we've been slightly isolated. It hasn't been, you know, you haven't seen all of us New Yorkers. Like we moved down to Miami and Fort Lauderdale and stuff. Tampa didn't really see that. It's been a slow trickle. Now all of a sudden it's a bit of a monsoon, but nevertheless, Tampa has developed its own really interesting culture. I like here.
Yeah. Awesome. And actually one last thing, I just doing my broadcast today, noticed that yesterday Billings, Montana was warmer than Tampa.
That's right. Yeah, it's a rarity, but we always highlight it when
it
happens.
That's right. How often does that happen in January, though?
It was 58 in Tampa, with 60 in Billings. So, you know, Billings was ridiculously warm and Tampa was pretty chilly. How often does that happen? A couple of times a winter we get to see something like that.
Okay, in January. It seemed unlikely. But yes, I mean, I could see it happening in the summer, actually, because it can get hot up there in the northern plains.
Yeah, we never get to 100 degrees here. I don't think we've never gotten to 100 degrees in Tampa at the airport. Yeah, there's lots of places hotter than Tampa during the summertime. Very few places more humid, but a lot of places that are hot.
Well, it's that kind of perspective that keeps it interesting. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. What is the best way for our viewers and listeners to follow you? Is it on X or what's your best socials?
Yeah, on X. And this is the first time I've ever said X. Yes, on Twitter. at WeatherProf. And I use Twitter 90% of the time I'm using social media. It's on Twitter or X.
Yeah, and your handle's WeatherProf, actually. And that goes back to your very beginning when you said that's kind of what inspired you to do what you do, is you wanted to help teach people about the weather.
I had the caricature drawn of me like 20 or 25 years ago when I worked at Channel 2 in New York City of the weather professor to try to, you know, get my brand across to people that I was going to teach them weather during my weathercast. And so it survived and I still use it.
And you're still using it today. That's fantastic. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to Weather Geeks. We will see you next time.